Welcome to your 31st Hangout with the Sons of Selvage. This is the first episode of 2024 and first episode in about 3 months. This is a podcast where a group of friends get together to talk about denim and related interests. This episode, we're going to talk to you about three things, what we've been up to for the end of last year, maybe a bit about sort of things we've acquired or been wearing a lot, holiday gifts, etc. And then also what we're looking forward to for 2024. Of course, this is a podcast where there's a bit of banter and explicit language, so please keep that in mind. And of course, subscribe to us wherever you enjoy our content, or on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, Google, etc. Follow us on Instagram at Sons of Selvage Podcast, and give us a shout if you'd like to join our growing Discord server. So maybe let's just kick it off with the first question. So, what did folks get up to at the end of last year? And we're going to do reverse order. So let's kick it off with Ricky.
Cool. How's it going? So for the past few months, pretty much been, I've traveled home for the holidays and not much going on other than that, like a couple of gigs here and there. I haven't been buying much either. So the only thing I remember getting was this cardigan that I have on right now. It's a Pendleton one. And that was pretty much it.
You're up in the north of Portugal, right, for home?
Yeah. Spend the whole time there.
I'm guessing your jumper is probably pretty good for that weather, right?
Yeah, 100%. Because I'm not sure, but from the people I speak to, I think they get the wrong impression that Portugal is like sunny year round, or it's like hot weather all the time. Definitely not where I come from. It rains more in the winter where I'm from than in London specifically, which is funny.
Oh well.
So yeah.
Is that just because you're on the coast?
Well, it might help as well, but it's all the northwest coast of Portugal gets hit by the same kind of weather that hits London and the Azores, south of the UK and Ireland. Climate thing that goes around has a specific name that I can't remember now. But it just goes like from the middle of the Atlantic, goes up a little bit further around Ireland, then further down UK, west coast of France, so the Biscay Bay, and north of Spain and Portugal. So it hits
the
background again. Yeah, those are where my geography classes back in uni.
For anyone who's not British, you should listen to the shipping forecast and try and decide if Ricky should go work for the British shipping forecast.
No, man. No, don't do that. Absolutely not.
you've got soothing voice, Ricky, so I'd listen to you.
Oh, don't say that. Don't say that.
The shipping forecast might actually be more interesting than our podcast.
Quite possibly.
Are you saying it doesn't take that much?
I was being sarcastic. You were going to say something, Kevin?
No. Mm-hmm.
So Ricky, mentioned that jumper you got on. So what's the lowdown with the pattern on it?
It's I'm not sure. I can't remember the name of it, but it's better if I just take it off actually and try to show you guys. Give me a sec.
Some OnlyFans content.
Stripping.
Yeah. Wow.
Ricky's getting naked for us.
You have to pay for that, man.
Only paid viewers can see this.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you can see it, but there's like It's kind of Native American pattern on the side and on the back. Not sure if you guys can see that. Yeah, so that's pretty much it. And it's a beige type of, it's a beige color. So it's kind of like an off-white type thing going on. And it's super, super warm, which is nice.
So Portugal, I think, is quite like old school Christian, right? Like if you're walking around that and it's got the cross on the back, are people like, you know, doing prayers to you and sort of asking if you're in the clergy?
You as a priest?
Nah, that's good, man. That's good. I mean, I feel like the country is, overall, it is definitely a Christian country, like from historically speaking. It's one of the oldest countries in the world as well. But I feel like if you speak to anyone our age or younger, they'll say if they say they're Christian, it's more from a heritage point of view than going to church every Sunday. You know what I mean? Or it's because their parents are, and you know, for historical reasons. Yeah. So it's been quite quiet since the last time I was on, saving up for 2024. I think I'm going to spend a little bit more than usual. Shall we get into that now?
Let's do like a full roundtable, like what folks got up to last year, and then we'll do another round of acquisitions, I guess.
Cool.
Yeah, so, Lex, when did you... Go ahead, Ricky. Sorry.
No, sorry. I can't remember anything else. I got a really cool deal. Do you guys know the brand Brixton? It used to be like a,
yeah,
I feel more like a streetwear brand. I think they're based out in California, actually, David. I got a bomber jacket from them at a really, really, really cheap price, like for $50, something like that. And it's quilted too, so it's nice, a black one. Probably like a jacket that I needed, which I didn't have at all. A bomber jacket.
Just throw up some photos on the Instagram.
Sure.
Be cool. Lex, what did you get up to? What's that?
I was just saying I haven't used it yet. Maybe that's why.
Fair enough. Lex, what did you get up to in the past couple months?
To be honest, this is going to be a really boring podcast because I've not been up to that much either. the reason I point out is that I think, as I mentioned it before the podcast, my girlfriend and I are currently getting works done to our house. So my entire life is spending hours picking taps and watching. You'd be amazed how many YouTube videos there are on kitchen sinks. that genuinely is a level of excitement of my life at the moment. So not a lot. Not a lot to report. The one thing exciting happened recently, which we probably should mention, and Ilya and Ricky, is we got to see a couple of days ago the UK premiere of the Denim Hunters movie in London, which is very exciting. So for those who don't know it, Denim Hunters, a film, it's Victor, how do you pronounce his surname?
Fredback.
Fredback, Victor Fredback. Some of you will probably follow him on Instagram. He's basically a vintage denim collector, and he was missing a pair of jeans from his collection. So he has jeans from every kind of decade from about, I think, the 1860s up to current day. And he's missing a pair from the 1880s. And basically, the film documents his travels to the US to kind of look for this elusive pair of jeans. It's a really good film, actually. Definitely for denim heads, worth the watch. I'd even say if you're non-denim heads, you can take your girlfriends along, because it's actually generally quite an entertaining film. Just for those of us who are into denim, we've got the extra geeking out after all this old jeans. Won't give away with the ending whether he managed to find his pair or not, but it's good. Ilya, what do you think of it?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I think, like you said, I think you don't have to be into denim to, you know, to enjoy the film. I think the storytelling aspect was really nice. And I think they had nice comedy angle, a bit of tragedy with some of the characters. It was quite heartfelt at times. with some of the people that he met. There's also a little bit of beef between some of the other collectors, which was interesting to find out a little bit more about that. So yeah, I think it was a great watch. Hopefully it'll land on some kind of streaming service after it's had its proper release. Because I could see it doing well on somewhere like that.
Yeah, so unfortunately, I don't think you're going to get it in any of the big cinema chains, but you'll probably get it at your local art house cinema if you're lucky. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I just did a quick Google, and it looks like they've been showing it since sort of October-ish. So.
Yeah.
It looks like the upcoming showings are Munich on the 23rd and 24th of Jan, and then Essen, Germany, on the 26th and 29th of Jan.
Yeah.
So Blue Zone Festival and Snowdance Festival, I guess, are showing it.
Yeah, which Munich is next, is happening this weekend, isn't it, I think? Or is it next week, I think?
I think that's maybe like Thursday, Friday of this coming week or something like that.
Yeah. So, yeah. But also part of the event after the movie had ended, there was a Q&A with both Victor mm-hmm. and the director. And I think for a lot of us, the highlight was to be able to go and touch some of the jeans that Victor had brought over, including some Boss of the Road, Levi's number twos, some Wrangler and Lee's, some interesting ones from rodeo jeans. Plus some other, like, what else was there? Like some Roebuck, JC Penney's.
Yeah, Roebuck's, Old Lee Wrangler, Boss of the Road, Rodeo Clown jeans.
And was there a pair of like military, like a USN? I thought there was one pair which had the kind of the fatigue pockets on the front. For me, it was the first time seeing some of those, really old jeans, which, I wasn't, quite sure whether that'd actually have the chance to have access to something like that. So that was pretty interesting. And to see the repairs that had gone into it, how certain things were made. And actually seeing, the really old denim that was used at the time. That was really exciting.
I'm still confused as to how he was allowing us to touch some of them. It's like the Levi's, a lot 201 were like 1890s.
Something.
And we were literally holding them.
I think he's got to the point where he's, he's kind of he's had these jeans to himself for a long time, and I think he's quite open to sharing that now, and obviously to help promote the film, I think, and also I think the at the premiere, the people who were there were, quite respectful as well, and there was no kind of just random, public. So I think he probably felt quite safe because of that to share that. But still, it is still a risk, to expose these kind of things to people. So, yeah, no, very grateful for that.
I was going to say, we should probably give a shout out to Mohsin as well for organising the event.
Yes.
And bringing everyone together and making our pencil cases.
Yeah, so Mawson and Sadi of Endrime. Yeah, big thank you to both of them.
Yeah, I'm jealous. I see that film's not on tour in America at the moment, so I'm jealous you guys got to see it.
Yeah, I think it was already.
Yeah. Didn't we do a movie showing as one of our first meetups as well? I can't remember what movie that was.
Yeah, that was
Weaving in Shibuya. That was definitely one of the first. Yeah, one of the first ones.
If it's so Kevin, true, I was just going to tell David, if it's touring the States, for sure it's going to land in San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean, this place, I mean, I'll kind of get into it in a minute, but this place is weird in its relationship with denim, but I'll save that for my turn. yeah, Kevin, what have you been up to in the past year?
Yeah, that's a good question, because it's been a while since I've been on air. I think the last time I was actually recording with you guys was when I was in Japan, I think. So that must have been not November last year, but the year before. So it's been a while.
No, surely you've had your since then.
No, I don't think so. Damn. I tried a few times, but it never really worked out.
You couldn't make it. But since your travels, I think we connected last time, I think, when you were traveling somewhere. It was probably Japan, because I think we were talking about maybe tattoos and...
I think
that's probably the last conversation. So since then, you've finished your travels and you've settled down for a little while. You've set your anchors
again somewhere else.
Yeah, somewhere else.
Yeah, so we arrived back in Europe in end of April, and then spent some well-deserved time with family and friends back home. Paid you guys a little visit in London as well at an event, which was really cool and good to see everyone again. And then the last quarter of the year, we moved to Copenhagen in Denmark. So we moved here in September, and then we both started work in October, my girlfriend and I. And I've just been settling down, getting to know the city, just enjoying everything very slowly, really, building everything up again. We had some furniture and things like that, but you know, there was still a lot needed. So, the apartment is now definitely feeling like home a little bit more than it was. So, but that takes time, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So, so it's been really good. Definitely a lot colder than Sydney was. So it's adjusting a little bit, but we're getting used to it now. It almost feels like the heat of Sydney is very far away. So it's good.
Good.
Sorry, I was just gonna say, most importantly, have you been to the local denim shop?
I have been to the local denim shop. Brunt, yes, yeah, absolutely.
Because you've got Brunt and you've also got Maritime Antique.
Yeah, you've got that. And there is another one, Blue Caviar, but that's in Aarhus, which is like a other city in Denmark. Denmark is very small, by the way. So it's another city, but it's like...
Aren't you right next to Malmo as well by train?
Yep, yeah, yeah.
Because they've got, was it Meadow of Malmo? Is that right?
Yeah. Is that in Malmo?
I thought it was. Maybe I'm wrong.
Is it Hepcap store that's in Malmo?
There's one of them is in Melbourne at least, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's Hepcat store.
Hepcat maybe is in
Malmo. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess like you get to the Copenhagen.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I say if I remember correctly, like you get to the Copenhagen airport and it's like one train goes this way to Copenhagen, the other train goes that way to Malmo, and they're just kind of like right across the water from each other or something.
Yeah, there's the famous bridge in between the two cities. There's like a Netflix series called The Bridge that made that bridge very famous. And it's like literally a 30-minute train ride or so, I think, maybe not even. So if I take the train to go to the airport, it actually goes on to Malmö. So it's super easy to get there. And there's a few good shops in Malmö. Is really, really small. We were there like a couple of months ago when a friend of ours was over. Just like strolling around a little bit, but it's very, very small. But I found a shop that sells R.M. Williams and does resoling of R.M. Williams as well. And mine are falling apart a little bit. So I need to get them resold. So luckily enough, I found a shop pretty close by that I can go and drop them off at. Plus, the Swedish krona is a bit weaker than the Danish, so it'll be a bit cheaper to do it over there, which is always nice. But yes, I have visited Blund actually a couple of weeks ago, and I picked up because they had like a crazy like in-shop only sale, but like 50% off of like a lot of stuff, like even shoes and stuff, like boots and shit. So it was really good. I picked up a Heimat sweater or like jumper, like knitwear knitted jumper, really really nice, like a navy and white striped version,
like a Breton, like a French Breton style,
thicker
no like stripe. A horizontal, yeah, and thicker.
Oh cool,
really very thick, cool. Yeah, and a Portuguese flannel corduroy, like in a kind of like the yellow of your cap, Ilya, like a mustardy yellow, yeah. Which is really nice. It's almost like an overshirt. It's like quite thick. Yeah, so obviously for winter, I don't really have that much winter gear. So I've been winter gearing up the last couple of weeks and months, which has been good. It's been fun again. So yeah, that's me basically. I'm settling into life and then, yeah. A different city.
I just did a quick Google, and Malmo is in fact in, Meadow is in fact in Malmo. So next time you're over there, definitely check that place out. They seem like they've got good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool, Ilya. What did you get up to at the end of last year?
It's all kind of been a bit of a blur. to be honest, lots of different events and bits and pieces, but nothing that sticks out in my mind right now. I guess what I'll touch upon is that I was quite proud to be featured in the Heritage Post special edition, which came out in December with the help of a Copenhagen native, Copenhagen, Thomas. Pretty. From Denim Hunters. So that was quite nice. So not only did they interview me, they asked for quite a lot of my photography to be featured in the magazine. So that was a nice surprise to be asked for that, and then to have that come pre-Christmas. That was nice.
They had it in the store in Brunn, so I had had a quick skim through. There was a lot of your photography in there.
Yeah,
really good.
It was very cool. Nice. Yeah.
What issue is it? Do you know?
What's that? Sorry.
Do you know which issue it was? In case folks want to pick one up.
Yeah, so it's the Rebel outfit. Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Basically, after the book, which Brian and Thomas released last year, they did a kind of a follow up with Heritage Post to be kind of like a side edition to that, and to explore those pieces and kind of the people who are currently who they thought represented whatever that kind of modern rebels. So that was quite nice. What else? It's kind of this year, but I'll mention Pity because that was quite interesting for me. That's definitely a highlight, which was at the beginning of January, so the first week, which for those that don't know is a men's trade show that happens in Florence biannually. In January and in June, so you've got the kind of the winter and the summer editions, and you have a lot of people coming, one to do business and to check out new brands, to get their wholesale in, to find manufacturing partners for their brands, and the interesting part is that you've got quite a gamut of menswear brands, from your kind of your classic tailoring all the way to kind of your more rugged brands like Shangri-La, Heritage and Captain Santos, and yeah, you can find lots of interesting brands and see what they're up to, see what, you know, what's in the pipeline. So you kind of get a peek into what they'll be releasing this coming year. And apart from that, you get quite a lot of people coming to join and to Peacock, but also just to hang and to enjoy the event. Kind of like I'd compare it to Denim Days for anyone who's done that, but just on a much bigger scale. The venue is huge. So and you get over the 3 or 4 days they had over 20,000 people coming through. But what I like about it is there's quite a nice vintage community who are kind of like us. Hello, Andy.
I am just phone, by the way, because I can do shit.
Who like us are into, you know, whether it's denim, militaria, or workwear. So those guys come, and you know there's a nice community aspect to that. And whether it's going to vintage shops, going to nice restaurants together, and so on. But really, it's a nice exchange of shared values, really. So yeah, I think that
we can hear your type, David.
Yeah.
Oh shit. Sorry. He's like, I was giving Andy an update. Yeah.
It's like that more bad like he gift.
Was smacking. Yeah. Yeah.
That must imply that I was not using this microphone, but using my laptop microphone. Sorry.
It's okay.
That's okay. Shit. So let me pass it over to yourself, David. Let us know what you've been up to.
Yeah, a lot, but I'll try and paraphrase it as much as possible to keep it brief. But in short, I've moved back from the UK to the US. It's been a long time goal to be closer to my family in Austin with like little nieces and nephews running around. Life circumstances, whatever, brought me back to San Francisco, where I used to live before I moved to Europe. So I was here up until 2010. In France for 3 years, UK for 10 years with you guys, and then now I'm kind of back here again. So sort of getting settled, you know, kind of finding an apartment, you know, buying some furniture, you know, exploring old neighborhoods, catching up with old friends, etc. But one thing I wanted to kind of focus on specifically was right before I left, I think that was like around mid-November-ish, it was around my birthday. You guys organized an amazing going away party for me at Black Horse Lane, their shop in London, Cold Drops Yard. And it was such a fucking amazing event. I mean, just hanging out with all you guys, like reminiscing, talking about, you know, the start of our hangouts in London, you know, when Kevin and I started kind of organizing things and talking about how the group has grown into this like group of like 40 people on a WhatsApp channel that get together all the time is really a special moment, and I definitely shedded a couple tears at the end. One thing that I wanted to also focus on was you all were kind enough to kind of chip in into a going away gift, which is a gift card for Self Edge. So obviously when I was here in December apartment hunting in SF, first thing I did was I ran over to Self Edge and just kind of like looked at all the amazing stuff. And I actually picked up this shirt here, which has become one of my favorite shirts. It's from Studio de Artisan, and it's called Kuro Zome Dye, which I think basically translates to black dye. And what it is, it's a, you know, kind of a classic Studio de Artisan Western fit, but the dye is a black dye that's like special to Kyoto, where they actually use betel nut and somehow it turned into this like super, super dark black dye. And they do it kind of like in multiple layers, almost like indigo dips, but it's black, and it's sort of, they apply something, they dip it in the black, they apply something else, they dip it in the black. And what you get is this like extremely black fabric. Like it's, even when I put it up to my other black shirts or jackets, it's like really, really dark in comparison. And what also makes it cool is like, you can see different hues kind of over it from the dipping process, almost like waves of dye. So nice. Some parts you'll see like these kind of like little bit of a reddish shimmer, a little bit of a greenish shimmer from like just the natural aspect of this type of dyeing. And apparently
will it fade?
Yeah, I was asking the guys at Self Edge, and they said it would do that. It'll fade like an indigo or something. It obviously would be quite unique because it's a unique dye. It won't be like, you know, like a sulfur fade. It'll be its own thing. But they were saying, yeah, it'll patina really nice and fade really nice. And I just love it. Like the white pearl snaps on this like super black. The denim, it's a little bit of a softer, like a rinsed denim, so it's not super crunchy. And then also, which I was really surprised, is that Studio Artisan seems to make a great cut for kind of more Western builds. You know, I'm 6'2". I usually buy a US large. So I bought a 42, and it's like amply long in the arms. It's like good in the shoulders. It's got a good chest fit. So I guess for Japan, it's maybe a looser cut, but nice. For like a Western build, it's awesome. It's like, oh man, I love this shirt so much. I wear it all the time now. And obviously it's got sentimental value as well. So yeah, that's kind of it for me, you know, just sort of getting accustomed to Western life again. Well, not Western life, sorry. West Coast life. West Coast life.
Back on the frontier.
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, not going to go into the future this year stuff, but you know, sort of open door policy. You know, I've got a guest bedroom, so hopefully you guys can all come over and hang out and spend some time on the West Coast.
Listeners, David.
You just open it up to No, just you guys. But I do want to try and connect with some denim heads over here. Like, yeah, I've been to Self Edge, I've been to Standard and Strange. There's obviously a big market for it. And the weather here is perfect for wearing denim pretty much year round. It kind of stays in like the 60s and 70s Fahrenheit year round. There's denim heads here, but
what does that mean?
I think in winter it'll be down to maybe like a low of 10. Celsius. Okay. In summer, maybe like a high of like 20 at most. On freak days, maybe 25, but never hotter or colder than those, because you're basically on the ocean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's me. Andy, what did you get up to in the past couple months?
Not a huge amount, to be honest, that I can think of. It's mostly been led by work and family life, so that's really been about it. Nothing really exciting, sorry guys.
You're a busy dude. That's, you keep us entertained with your fit pics on Instagram, so a lot of good fit pics in recent months.
Once a month I think on average I post.
That's it.
Mate, it's really low.
Jesus man, time flies. I did get a laugh though that there was some kind of like denim sound off on one of those like Facebook groups we're on. Like everyone's kind of posting these like rugged pictures of their like, you know, motorcycle jackets and all this shit. And like Andy posts a picture in like his scuba trunks and like tiny t-shirt. It's like, everyone's like rugged. It's like
and something. It's like just and so included on some video they posted. It's like hidden in a corner out of the way.
It's funny.
Just too much.
Keeping people on their toes.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, maybe for a second quick roundtable, maybe folks can kind of mention any recent acquisitions or any kind of kit you're appreciating. So I don't know, Ricky, anything you've been wearing a lot, or besides your jumper, or anything to call out?
No. So it was just that the bomber jacket that I got, but I still haven't worn it yet because
Ricky, too cold for it. Yeah. Tell us about your peacoat.
Oh, dude, I forgot about that. Shall I leave it to you?
No. You got it first. It's your prerogative.
So for a long time, I've had a very kind of like an old shot pea coat, which didn't really fit me anymore because it always had been a bit too tight on the sleeves. It was a very tapered kind of like slim fit type of pea coat, and a couple of years ago, either last year or 2 years ago, I bought two Submariner high mat jumpers, which are quite thick and they're really, really warm. And I couldn't wear them with a pea coat. And also it was a bit beaten up already, so I decided to upgrade it. And I got a Buzz Ritson's, the William Gibson version, which is the black version of the pea coat, which is really, really nice. The wool is very, very thick. It's kind of like a, It's like a...
It's like 32 ounce, isn't it? Wool, like melted wool.
Yeah, yeah. But once you break it in, you're good. I mean, even with a, if I put the jumper for the really cold days on, I can just have the coat open. Don't have to.
There's rumors that you can break it in. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah. I can. Yeah. I traveled with it back home, and yeah, it's great. It's one of those kind of like forever pieces, I guess. At the time I bought it from Japan, I made a bit of a mistake with the sizing, because with the William Gibson version, on my body at least, it comes up a bit shorter than the normal version, than the navy one. A bit tighter overall, especially on the back and under the armpits. So yeah, so I had to send it back. That was a bit of a bummer, and then have the correct size come back. And yeah, it's great. It's one of those really, really sturdy garments that I can't see myself like getting anything else anytime soon.
Yeah. Can you really tell the like Buzz Ritson quality? Like, does it really kind of stand out in terms of like being better than say your shop peacoat?
I mean, yeah, it's completely different, man. The shop peacoat is much thinner, you know? So just that alone, you know, you'll see the difference in price just from the materials itself. And at the time I got the shop for a really, really, really good price. It was like almost like 50% off or something like that. I can't remember what it was now, but it was like a 50% off type of online deal that I was like, oh, let me give it a try. And it served me well. Then, you know, I managed to sell that on. So, and I upgraded to the Buzz Ritson's.
Nice.
I advise anyone to get it. They will not regret it.
Yeah, the idea of the all black too sounds cool. Personally, I think that sounds like
I went with the black one because I went with the black for the reasons why I didn't like the black in the first place, which were the pockets being leather lined. There's like a bit of leather on the outside on the piping of the pocket, and also a little bit on the inside as well, like probably 2 to 3 centimeters of lining on the inside. And then the rest of the pocket is corduroy. It's like a tan corduroy on the inside. And at first I didn't care much for that. I was like, nah, I don't really like the black one. But the more and more I saw it, I was like, eh, maybe I'm starting, it's starting to grow on me. So yeah, I ended
up getting
the black one too. Yeah.
Sounds cool.
Get one, man. Not sure it's for California weather, but yeah. I've heard it's snowing in Texas nowadays.
Oh, dude, it was, yeah, the other day my aunt texted me and it was -4 Fahrenheit in Colorado, which is like -20 Celsius or some shit.
Yeah.
And then it was like 0 Fahrenheit in Texas, which is like, again, like -18 or -17 Celsius. It's like, wow. It's crazy how cold it was getting through like the middle of America. And over here in San Francisco, over here it was like 15 Celsius and like 0 bad weather. So... But I thought I felt an earthquake yesterday at the IKEA store, but I think it was just the building was like jiggling a bit. I was like, earthquake! Actually, no, not an earthquake. what about you, Lex? Any recent acquisitions or anything you've been wearing a lot?
Well, as I previously said, no acquisitions because all of my money has gone on taps and flooring and boring stuff like that. The one thing I will mention is actually a really old acquisition that I've been wearing, because I got for my 40th birthday, my girlfriend kindly bought me a pair of Dana boots, which I really loved, and she got sent over from Portland, but annoyingly they turned out to be too big. I was really annoyed, we couldn't send them back because they'd come from America. So I was going to flog them on eBay, but then out of laziness, they just sat in a cupboard for 3 years. And one thing you'll find out, I think I'm the oldest here, as you get older, your feet slowly get bigger and bigger. So basically in that time, I've had to get like middle-aged man insoles and my feet are stretched. And that actually fit me pretty well. So it's like having a new pair of boots I didn't have to pay for.
Nice. You got the Mountain Lights in that kind of tan leather, is that right? The kind of tannish copper?
Mountain Lights in the kind of the tan color. Yeah, really nice boots. Like, ridiculously big though. Like, I can only wear them with my kind of wide leg Black Horse Lane jeans, because anything else, my feet just look like golf clubs.
I guess because they're hiking designs, they had like extra space in the end of the toe caps, like you wouldn't hit your feet on stuff. I think that was sort of like slightly elongated in design.
It's a mixture of, elongated, and they're chunky as well. And I've got a size 12 to 13 feet. So all of that combined, they look slightly ridiculous. But fine for wearing the trouser, and really like them. Comfortable boots. Not going to see any, I can't imagine anyone actually wearing them for actual proper hiking. Other than kind of like, they're very, very heavy. Like, I'm far happier hiking about kind of like light, you know, kind of modern hiking boots. But for strutting around London, pretty good. So that's like the only new thing I've had this year, which isn't even new, it's 3 years old.
Well, we need tap recommendations. We can get you back on.
Oh, yeah. If we do Sons of Kitchen renovations, then I'm the person to talk to. Cool. Kevin, what about you?
I think I mentioned two of the recently acquired items already. But apart from that, one of the first purchases I actually had to do was buying a proper winter coat, because I didn't have anything at all. And I braved it for a while with just a jumper and a North Face like windbreaker jacket, but that didn't do the trick anymore in November. And I've always wanted like a parka, like a mountain parka, fishtail parka, kind of. I had my eyes on, can't remember what the brand is called, but the one from the Deer Hunter, like the orange mountain parka from that movie. But I couldn't really find any retailers here in like where I could access it and try it on. So, but then I bumped into this brand called Hansen Garments, which is a Danish brand, make amazing stuff, also quite heritage inspired. And I ran into their shop and ran into this orange parka, which initially, I think this was probably like somewhere in September or so, when it was still like t-shirt weather. So I decided to not buy it at that point. And then when it became time for the jacket, I went in back in to try and get it, and then it was sold out, unfortunately, because it was a limited run, or at least the orange color was a limited run. And so I bought it in a gray, like a charcoal gray color. But for some reason, something in my mind was like, hold off with wearing it. There might be a chance that there will be an orange available. And then at one day at work, I don't know how it came up, but something came up, and I was like, oh yeah, let me check the orange version. And then there was one in my size online, so I emailed them straight away. I went to pick it up the same day, so I switched my gray one up for the orange version. Super happy with it. It's like a 100% wax cotton on the outside from Scotland, and it's lined with wool, 100% wool from Portugal, I think. So beautiful jacket. And it's serving me really well in the cold weather up here. So that's definitely been a really good purchase. And then the other purchase is one of Ilya's hats, which has been keeping my head nice and toasty. So I got that in an Ikru alpaca wool, also natural wool, basically, which is, pretty cool. It goes well with the wool inside the jacket. It's the wool, you can see it inside the hood as well. So it matches that very nicely.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah.
You kind of got the accent.
Yeah, exactly. Nice. Exactly. Nice. Yeah.
Not exactly an acquisition, but what's up with your dining table? Were you just like staying at your dining table or something?
Yeah. So Anikatu's dining table made this was the before we moved to London. So probably like in 2012 or so, I think. Her neighbor is like a woodworker. Like he makes, all sorts of things like doors and stuff like that. Normally stuff for the house, but he's very good with wood making. So he made her this table, which was originally just a whitewashed table. So get a whitewashed look. And then when we moved to Australia, we left it in the Netherlands. But now we moved back to Europe and moved to Denmark here. We thought, let's get the table out again, but we wanted to do something else with it and, spice it up a little bit. And so we bought this, there's this Danish company that does all of these different types of wood oils. So this is called a satin wood oil in the color Delft, which is the city in the Netherlands where they make ceramics and stuff. It's called Delft's Blue as well. I don't know if you know it, but it's like a copy of the old traditional Chinese kind of porcelain kind of stuff. It's such a beautiful blue color. We've done the first coat of it now. I need to do another one next weekend and then a top coat over it again to make sure that it doesn't stain anymore. But yeah, it almost looks like an indigo, basically, on the wood.
Is it like that?
It's absolutely amazing. Yeah, that's it.
That looks awesome. That looks super cool. Linolin pigment is whatever the one I found on Google.
That is the brand indeed, yes. Yeah.
Wow, that looks dope, man.
Yeah, yes, really, really cool. So yeah, it's indeed as if we have a new dining table. So it's that's pretty cool, yeah.
You have to put some pictures on the Instagram once you guys get it finished up and everything.
Will do, definitely.
Cool. Ilya, anything on your side?
Ricky, I also got the Bosrixen peacoat, which my wife gave to me for Christmas.
What a wife.
So, yeah, I know. lucky
keeper.
it's kind of too late to return her.
The coat of the wife.
the coat.
Okay.
It's a brilliant jacket. Pretty much what Ricardo said holds true. I went for the classic navy color for my one, and yeah, absolutely love it. Took it to Pity with me. It was nice to have it as a evening jacket when it got really cold, easily to layer over other pieces. And I just really enjoyed. I've kind of done a little series on Instagram, kind of how you can style it, and because I just found that it's so versatile. You can just throw it together with so many different things. So that's been quite fun. And I think it's a jacket which I avoided for a long time because of just how, I guess, how prominent it is in society and how many different versions there are by so many different brands. But then last 2 years, I was always out, when I was out looking for the vintage stuff, I would always try one on, and Marta's always with me and stuff like that, so she kind of knew that I was after something like that. But with the vintage ones, I could never find one that just had the nice fit or the right kind of fabric. It was either too flimsy or, I kind of opted for the Buzz, which had the best fit, had the best fabric in my opinion, and just kind of stayed true to the classic look of it. That's been the major acquisition last few months, really.
I'm jealous of y'all's peacoat game.
Peacoat game. So, how about you, David? Apart from your shirt.
Yeah, so this is obviously the most special acquisition in a long time, and has such sentimental value. But two things I'll mention as well is I've always loved RGT's matte coat, which they called a trench coat. I don't know why, but they've always got their names wrong. Like maybe Carl's like being creative, but it's basically a single-breasted matte coat, you know, wax canvas, wool lining, and I'd want like slash pockets with flaps. And I'd wanted one forever, but like they made them one time like 5 years ago. They did it in silver and they did it in black wax canvas. Well, anyways, on eBay, like kind of November, October-ish, I found one that was basically brand new from a dude in the UK, an XL, which an RGT XL is like a large for any other brand. I got it and it's like when I was in London end of last year, wearing it all the time. Since I got over here to California, I'm wearing it all the time. It's great in the rain. And something about wearing a matte coat, you just feel cool. I don't know why. It's like, feels kind of like a mobster or something. I'm not quite sure, especially in black. But I've been wearing that a lot. The only downside is the sleeves were tailored a little bit too short. But luckily there was a lot of allowance in the interlining and stuff. So I've got it at the tailor's right now to let it down like 3/4 of an inch or something. That's one thing. And the other thing I'll mention is Standard and Strange had a big sale for Black Friday. And they had a whole bunch of stuff at 20% off. And they accidentally included John Lofgren in the sale. So I managed to get myself a pair of the the John Lofgren M43s in the black Shinky Horsehide. And it's interesting because like the reason why I thought they would be amazing shoes isn't actually what's made them amazing. So obviously I was like, oh, the leather, it's black, it's shiny, it's got these cool kind of like alligator looking texture in it, even though it's horse. You know, it's T-Core, which I'm not the biggest fan of because it doesn't keep black, but I figured with some black cordovan polish I can kind of keep a bit of that look. But anyways, why I'm blown away by it is the comfort and the fit. They use the old Munson last, so it's like pretty good space in the toe box. It was designed so I think like you could wear one size over different foot shapes. You just kind of like, or one last could work for different foot shapes. You just size up accordingly. But the fit's amazing and they've broken in fantastically. And like they're kind of become my most selected boot for like walking around. So I'm walking around like 10 miles a day on a weekend in San Francisco. They're just so comfortable. I just throw them on and just walk everywhere. And they look cool too. I think the silhouette of John Lofgren's M43 is quite unique and quite awesome. I'm in love with them. They're fantastic boots and I highly recommend if folks can afford it to try out the M43s.
Yeah, those look fantastic. That leather is incredible. I'd love a brown a version of that at some point. Mm. It's a great point that you bring up in terms of the comfort. I think Lofgren boots are definitely one of the most comfortable boots on the market, and I think that's a big selling point of why you would go for a boot like Lofgren, even though it's on the more expensive side. But for the majority of the pairs I've had, and the M43s in particular, you can, like you say, you can just walk in them all day and not have any issues with them.
Yeah, I definitely kind of feel like part of what you're paying for in those is like the development costs that went into Lofgren, like super dialing in the fit, super dialing in the pattern. So it feels like that when you pick them up, you're like, wow, these aren't necessarily more better well-built than a pair of Vibergs. But I think the production quality of like how precise the Japanese factories are alongside like all the development that went into like a great fitting boot, like I can see where the price comes from with those two facets in particular.
I think also the leather selection, it tends to be better than a lot of other bootmakers from what I've seen anyway. And it's just those nice little touches that, you know, John has added to his boots, like a storm well or things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I will definitely say the Shinki leather is a bit of a almost like Marmite in that it's either love it or hate it. So, for example, on one boot, there's a lot of the kind of like reptile-y looking texture. And on the other boot, it's a lot smoother. So you're like looking at your two feet and they're quite different.
Yeah.
And even how one boot is patinaing and like the T-core showing through faster than the other boot is a bit kind of like unexpected. But I think if you're willing to kind of have sort of like funky kind of like asymmetrical look, then it's kind of all right. But definitely, like, you got to know that going into it, that like there, it's not going to be predictable in the same way that like a standard rough out leather or something might.
There's always the novelty of knowing that, you know, you have a unique pair of boots too when you have all those things going on.
Yeah, definitely. One thing I'll mention too is on the Brandic, I'm technically 11 and a half on the right and 10 and a half on the left because of my arches. And I went down one full size from Brandic, so from 11 and a half down to 10 and a half. And the fit's awesome. So I think their sizing advice seems to be pretty good in terms of going one full size down from how your feet measure. But Andy, any acquisitions into last year for you?
In the last couple of months since we last recorded, so for Christmas my wife got me a Momotaro waffle thermal long sleeve in yellow, and it's probably the softest like kind of base layer I've got. It's amazing. It's super soft to wear. It's got an amazing hand feel on the texture, on especially on the waffle. It has the little going to battle stripes on the left arm, so that's the first, in fact it's the first Momo item I've actually ever owned, and so that's been getting quite heavy wear. And then this that I have on at the moment, because it's a bit chilly, I finally took the plunge and got a Dehen sweater coat, the short collared version, which I got directly from them, because unfortunately not many UK stockists seem to sell it.
They're quite a small company, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think the only, like, in London, the only place that really stocks Dehen is Rivet and Hyde, and they don't have the short collar versions, they have the cardigans. And then the only other place I saw was, I think it was The Great Divide.
Yeah.
Had it, but they only had it in black, and they only had, like, one, like, a small left. So I went just directly to Dehen. Went for the original version, not the 2.0 cut that came out not long ago, mainly because I wasn't a fan on the waxed canvas elbow pads. I thought that was a bit geography teacher for me. So I did love the pockets on the 2.0. But I've got this. It arrived, took maybe a week to get over here, got hit with customs, as is the way. It's amazing. It weighs a ton. It's like it weighs more than my Ironheart deck jacket. So the package was marked as like 1.5 kilos.
Huh.
It's like wearing armor.
Is it wool? Is it like super thick wool?
Yeah. It's super cozy, man. I've been wearing it.
It's one of those anti-anxiety, like heavy blanket things.
weighted blanket,
yeah.
But yeah, it's getting a lot of wear. One of my younger colleagues said it's my uncle card, my like granddad cardigan. This thing is pretty sturdy, so I won't be surprised if it's still around if I ever become a grandfather.
Super, I think, cool. Actually, it's good with that shirt too. It's a good match with that yellow.
The Indigo Ferro one. I think that's about it. I've got a new MERS sweater on its way, but it's not here yet. Making use of those sales.
Yeah.
Well, not saying I have any answers, but you definitely need to find you a friend in America to post you stuff so you don't get hit with UK customs.
I just didn't want to trouble you.
Not saying I can help you there, but someone definitely can help you there if you hit them up on WhatsApp before you want to put your order in.
Again, is this offer open to the listeners as well, David?
I'm not offering anything.
Again, right?
We'll trade American textiles for British PVC toy soldiers.
When you said PVC, I was thinking of something a little bit more niche than that.
Oh no! It's basically just PVC pipes turned into little soldiers. Anyways, maybe one last round of discussion topics for today's episode. What are folks looking forward to this year? Maybe kick it off with Ricky again.
Yeah. So now that I was thinking about it, I was saving up for most of last year to get a new leather jacket, which has been put in. It's on hold. It's on the waiting list at the moment. So that would be with Greg up in Scotland, Phil Leathers. And I hope to visit him before he starts making the jacket itself, because I really want to nail down, the size. I would rather have him take the measurements and all that. Than having to do it myself, and I don't know, just for what it is, I think it's a investment piece which I want to get right, and that's the main thing that I'm looking forward to this year. That and a pair of dressy boots, which I've been looking at but still haven't made up my mind yet. So I'm looking forward to the jacket for sure, though.
Just any life stuff?
Any what, sorry?
Any like life stuff, like travel, events, concerts, gigs, that kind of thing?
Well, I mean, for work, I'll be back in Miami in 2 months. So probably take advantage of the pound, being a bit, a bit higher than the dollar, and being able to purchase a couple of things overseas. But still, I'm not sure what, or I'm not even thinking about it too much. It's just one of those things that if it happens. Other than that, any other travels? Not really, because work's gonna be pretty busy this year. And other than the trip up to Scotland to see if I can get measured by Greg himself at Field Leathers, that would be cool to do.
Well, if you find additional time, I know you often don't have time when you're stateside for travel, but if you do, hit me up and maybe I can fly and meet you somewhere and hang out.
For sure, man. I would love that. If I get a week off, I'm not sure if I'm gonna get a week off like I did last year, but if I do, I'll definitely hit you up.
Cool.
Yeah. Just wanted to mention, when we were talking before, with the hubcap store, actually, is not in Malmo, but just outside of Malmo in Lund, which is the town over.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just wanted to make that right. And other than that, not sure, man. I've been looking at dressy boots a bit. Not sure if to go with a Chelsea boot. Or Joan Depour,
not sure if that's how you pronounce it, but
Jodhpur.
Yeah, Jodhpur.
Like the Jodhpur. But yeah,
it's a place in India, right?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I still need to figure it out.
Nice. And Lex, you got any big plans for this year?
Well, obviously, main one is move back in the house. That's it. Start a rival podcast called Sons of Electrical Downlights. yeah, not a lot. No purchase on the horizon. As I said, just all the money's going to the house. So once that's over, I'll hopefully start thinking about treating myself to something nice. Maybe yeah, Sons of Sawdust, that's a better name. Maybe a new Hawaii. I'll treat myself to a new Hawaiian shirt once I've got a bit of money, as we'll be coming into summer. But otherwise, that's about it. I'm also going to Scotland in a couple of months' time, just for a family holiday, to visit near Aberdeen and Grantham-on-Spey. So drink some whiskey, do some hiking.
Nice.
Be nice.
Thanks.
I'm actually quarter Scottish, and I've not been to Scotland since I was a kid, so looking forward to that. Yeah, and that's about it. And then before you know it, the year will be over.
There's a really good shop up in Aberdeen. Oh, gosh, what's it called? It's they do a lot of, like, engineered garments and Alden. Kafka. I think Kafka Mercantile's up in Aberdeen.
All right, cool. I'll have a look and see if there's a see what's up there. So, yeah. Yeah, that is my year ahead. It's basically DIY and more DIY.
Nice.
But it's all good. I will bore you with it next time I see you. My tile samples and color things. This is my life.
Very familiar.
Are you doing a lot of the work yourself?
No, just the end bit. I have no skills, unfortunately. So I'll do the painting and make soft furnishings.
On the DIY bit, Kevin's indigo type dot wood oil finish has got me thinking. I've got a few pieces of, like, IKEA, you know, crates and stuff that are like natural pine. I'm thinking I might try and source a similar color to that and do some blue staining of some bits from my apartment.
I think I'd be a dead man if I started staining all of our stuff blue.
Shit.
Kevin, how about you, year ahead?
Yeah, I think for me it's just the thing I look forward to most is, like, reconnecting with everyone in this part of the world. Obviously, having been away for five and a half in total, but 4 years without seeing anyone here. That's kind of like the main goal of this year. So make a few trips over to London. We've got another one coming up in February, 3 weeks time or so, we'll be up and landing again. And then we are planning a trip to the north of Norway at the end of March. So hopefully seeing the northern lights and that kind of stuff up there. It'll be damn cold, but, you know, you just got to go through it for a little bit. And exploring it up there a little bit. That's definitely, like, one of our goals, you know, to explore Scandinavia a lot more now that we're up here. Because, you know, from what we've seen, it's beautiful. So we want to go and see it. And I've probably got a few more trips planned later in the year, but nothing really set in stone yet. So, it's been good. Like, because we've been here, what now, in Denmark, 4 months? 5 months or so, and we've been back home 3 times already. So it's just so good to be able to just quickly hop on a plane and be back within, like, I think door to door, it's probably like four and a half hours or so.
That's not bad.
For like 60 euros Ryanair. So it's like, yeah, it's very good. So it's that'll be the main focus for this year for us.
You should hit up Anders from Steel Feather. I think he's still up, like, somewhere in the middle of Norway. I bumped into him on a train a few years ago.
I've actually got a pair of his jeans.
Yeah. I didn't speak to him, but he's like, hey, I think I, he like Instagram. He's like, hey, I think I saw you on a train, like going up through like Oslo to like the north.
Yeah.
And I've got a colleague as well who's from like the northernmost town in Norway. I think maybe where there's that like restaurant that's in the bay, like the restaurant's underwater. I think he grew up like way up there, so I can maybe connect you.
Yeah, he came to the Black Horse Lane shop last year. And I can't remember what he said he was doing. I think he might have started a different brand now, or a different business.
Yeah, I don't think Steel Feather is around anymore. So
the brand stopped. So yeah. In terms of me, what's going on? Might be going to Italy next weekend with my wife for our anniversary trip, which we normally do. So it'll be either Rome, which we normally do, or maybe we're thinking Bologna, one of the two.
Nice.
I haven't planned any other trips as of yet, but definitely we'll be looking to head out somewhere as well. And yeah, I just want to continue doing photography and stuff like that this year. But I've just started a new role with Black Horse Lane Ateliers, which I will be helping with production and relationship management with the clients and just kind of with our partners and stuff like that. Gonna give that a go, something a little bit different for myself, and get a different perspective on the business, and try to get a little bit deeper into the business and into the industry. So yeah, kind of looking forward to learning more.
Congratulations.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I guess a couple bits from my side.
Thanks, David.
I'm going to, what's that?
Sorry, I thought it was Andy's turn.
Oh, no, we're doing reverse alphabetical order.
Yeah, sorry.
It's Andy will finish us off. So a couple bits from my side. I'm going to try and start attending some of the American events. So I'm planning to go down to LA in April for Inspiration. I don't know yet if I'm going to drive down. Depends if I buy a car or not, or if I fly down. I think it's like a 6-hour drive from San Francisco to LA without traffic. It could be like 8 or 9 hours with traffic. I'm going to try and do Inspiration. Maybe while I'm down there, I might try and carve out a bit of time to hit up some of the shops. Like, I'd love to go meet Ben in person at Snake Oil. Yeah, I'd love to go meet the guys at Freenote. And then maybe like, I don't know, Mr. Freedom, and maybe like try and connect with Jake and Almost Vintage Styles. Don't really know yet, but some notion of going down there in April. Hoping to try and connect with Denim Heads in San Francisco. So if there's like Oakland, SF, Bay Area, you know, San Jose, Denim Heads, trying to organize some get-togethers, although I haven't met anyone yet. And then the third bit is I'm going to try and go to New York in October for the second Stitch Down boot camp. So they had the first one this past October, and they've already planned the next one for this coming October. And I think they're going to try and sort of like get a little bit more above and beyond just footwear. So I'm going to kind of try and get out there and see what that's all about. So if you guys want to organize an LA visit or a New York visit, you know, give me a shout, because I'm going to try and get those things planned. And then I guess the last bit is I want to try and start doing some more of the 5x1 reviews that I was putting up on YouTube, and obviously recording more regularly with you guys. That's it for me. Andy?
First off, getting a laptop with a working fucking webcam again. which, like I said, that's going to be hopefully in a couple of months. Found one, and I'm just going to, it's like a, from a custom build site, and I'm just going to rip out the hard drive from this current one and then just slot it in, and then that's all good to go. And fingers crossed, it'll work, and I'll actually have I won't have to hold my phone as it beats battery trying to do this call. because I don't know if anyone noticed, I was constantly looking away from the screen. That was because I was doing about 12, at least a dozen restarts on my laptop trying to get the driver to work, but it's fucked, so that's fine. What else have we got coming up? Yeah, got a couple of trips coming up, going over to Netherlands in end of June. Should be cool. Nice. For a week, which will be nice. I haven't been since I was about 3. So it'd be nice to kind of get out and explore around there. We're kind of going to be sitting between The Hague and Amsterdam. So we're kind of nicely positioned to check out quite a lot of key areas. The other kind of big thing, I say big, is for me coming up, and it's not until like the end of November now, but the old 90s hardcore band Unbroken have kind of done a temporary reformation, and they're coming over to London to do a show, and it's going to be for the 30th anniversary of their album Live, Love, Regret, which is going to be awesome. I've got a few mates who are coming down from Manchester for it, who are mates with guys in the band as well, because they've been in the hardcore scene, you know, since year dot. So that's going to be like, that's going to be really, really good fun, and really looking forward to that. My little boy starts school this year, so that's going to be mad.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, he's growing up fast.
Yeah.
It's insane. We had the most amazing meltdown today. with a lot of aggression. I can't remember what it was over. I can't remember, but it was, and anyone else who's got a kid, or you know, who has a kid who's that age, or who was a kid who's, you know, a bit older, they'll kind of remember. I think Ilya might remember with Dante, the when they hit a certain, when they kind of blow up, they blow up, and
just going through the same stuff with my daughter.
Yeah,
she's not too intense, but every now and again, you know,
this
something will come up.
He's quite willful at the moment, but today was pretty insane. but yeah. So he starts school. So that's kind of my big thing, is that kind of next stage in his development.
Will that be in September?
Yeah, mate.
Yeah.
Find out in 2 months what school he's going to.
Nice.
That's really about it for me.
Awesome. Well, that might actually close us out for this episode. I think we wanted to kind of keep it a little bit shorter and sweeter than normal. So... thank you guys for jumping on and getting the podcast moving again. I realize it's been a bit of a challenge with time zones. So here's to an awesome 2024 with lots of Sons of Selvage podcast content. Thank you for all of our listeners who have either sent us positive feedback on Instagram, jumped on our Discord, given us shout outs. You know, we really appreciate you guys listening to us last year and hope you enjoy this year. As always, like and review us wherever you subscribe to our content, follow us on Instagram if you haven't, and hit us up if you'd like to join our Discord, and hopefully see you guys in about another month's time with another episode.
Cool. Goodbye.
See you guys.